O Lord, take my thoughts and words, take our minds and hearts, take all that we are, small though all these things are, and in your power and compassion, multiply them, that we may be fed, and that all your hungry people may be fed, and that even we might share in that work of feeding. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus feeds 5,000 people, or 5,000 men, so probably more than that in total. Just as a preliminary point, Nina's testimony about yesterday's Alpha Day illustrated so well a central lesson of this passage. This miracle is unusually recorded by each of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each have their own account of this miracle. The 12 were recently returned from travel. They'd been sent out by Jesus in twos to preach, to drive out demons, and to heal. And when they returned, Jesus recognized their need for rest. "Come with me," he said, "by yourselves, to a quiet place to get some rest." A reminder that being a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, serving the Lord, will often be tiring and even draining, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I think this will apply not only to stuff that we do at church or in a Christian fellowship context, but will apply to our daily calling, whatever that might be, as well. Work, study, if we have those things, the everyday world. We are called to do what we do with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Jesus has not called any of us to an easy life, and there are times when we will need rest. But on that occasion, a large crowd cut short the rest that they had begun to enjoy. John's Gospel in chapter 6, a great crowd of people followed them because they saw the signs Jesus had performed by healing those who were ill. And Jesus looked out upon the crowd that had just cut across his desire to give his 12 closest followers some rest. He looks out on that crowd with compassion. Matthew and Mark both tell us here of the compassion of Jesus. And Mark goes on to amplify it, saying that Jesus saw this mass of humanity as like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion, a great Bible word in the Old Testament and New Testament, a great word to describe something about God's character, something which enlarges, amplifies his love. God's compassion, the compassion of Christ, the one in whom all the fullness of God dwelt. A Bible dictionary will tell you that compassion and pity and mercy are almost synonyms. Grace is perhaps not quite such a close synonym, but is closely related. Compassion, pity, mercy. The God of the Old Testament is a God of compassion and mercy. The psalmist in Psalm 78 is recalling God's people's repeated straying and turning away from God, their repeated turning against God. And he says, but God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. The psalmist's prayer in Psalm 86, you, Lord, are a compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Psalm 103, a famous psalm. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Isaiah the prophet draws a beautiful picture of God in chapter 49. It's one of a number of female images of God that we find occasionally in the Bible. It's a picture of a mother with her child feeding at the breast. Perhaps there can be no more tender a picture of intimate and compassionate love. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The poet and hymn writer William Cowper paraphrased those words in this way, and we sing these words sometimes in this church. Can a mother's tender care cease toward the child she bear? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. God's compassionate and merciful love is greater even than the love of a mother for her child. And God, in his merciful and compassionate love, sent his Son into the world, and the Son lived out his Father's compassion and mercy. His miracles certainly were acts of divine power, but they were also acts of divine mercy, compassion, and pity. In the first chapter of Mark, a leper comes to Jesus kneeling and asking for healing. And the old translations say in Mark 1 and 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Be clean. Matthew chapter 20, two blind men on the road hear that Jesus was passing by, and they cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. When religious people complained that Jesus associated and ate with sinners of various types, Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd with 100 sheep, one is lost. He leaves the 99 and searches after the one lost sheep until he finds it. We sing about that too here. And if you or I are a Christian person, then I am indeed a lost sheep, sought out and found by a compassionate Saviour. And here Jesus sees men and women, the crowd, and has compassion for them, seeing them as sheep with no shepherd, and he teaches and feeds them. How did Jesus, in his compassion, feed this crowd? The disciples' idea was at this rather late hour that Jesus should send them out into the villages around to buy their own food, buying and paying for it themselves. The response of Jesus in verse 37 was to tell the disciples, "No, you give them something to eat." The quantity and expense, say the disciples, would be too much. And we might paraphrase what they say to Jesus in verse 37 as something on the lines of, "Lord, that is a mad idea." But then, at the Lord's bidding, the disciples inquire and discover food within the crowd. Only a small quantity, 5 loaves and 2 fish. John tells us that it was a boy who brought this tiny offering via Andrew, the disciple who was the brother of Peter. And Jesus takes this offering and in his divine power and compassion multiplies it so that 5,000 are fed, and with 12 basketfuls of remnants collected at the end. What has God called you or me to offer to him? How has he called you or me to serve him? Might we ever be tempted to feel adequate to the work, the calling that Christ has given us? Our preacher this morning was Becky Tindall, and some may have been there at one of the morning services. And as she preached on this passage this morning, she was urging us to bring the ordinary things of our lives to God for his blessing, his multiplication, to bless and feed us and others. Becky brought with her a pack of nappies. Our son is 28 and is rather beyond that stage, but of course, dear Becky and Sam have a one-year-old. And we all might start with the ordinariness of time and money. Whatever we are able to bring to God will be as 5 loaves and 2 fish among 5,000. But as he, in his compassion, mercy, and power, takes what we offer, he will bless and multiply what is offered to him, nourishing and feeding us and the people he loves. John's Gospel greatly expands this miracle, giving us Jesus' teaching on it afterwards. And it seems that many in the crowd could not see beyond the purely physical food. From John chapter 6, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus feeds his people. He feeds us with himself. As he in his compassion fed hungry bodies, he in his compassion feeds hungry souls with himself. And he feeds us to eternal life. Later in John chapter 6, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He died for our sins, that we might live. Jesus feeds us with himself through his risen presence with us by the Holy Spirit, through his word, through our relationship with him in the shared life of the church, his people together, our shared life of prayer, of worship, fellowship, of service, knowing his presence with us in all these things by his Holy Spirit. And he calls us to respond to his compassion and mercy for us, his feeding and nourishing of us, by lives which reflect his compassion, by sharing in his work of feeding his people. Lives which reflect his compassion. A verse from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, forgive each other if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As to sharing in Christ's work of feeding with the spiritual food of himself, much of this is worked out in the everyday life of the church and in our relationships with each other and with the people, Christian or not, we meet and live alongside day by day. One of the last resurrection appearances of our Lord Jesus was at Lake Galilee, recorded in John chapter 21, where the risen Lord Jesus has a momentous conversation with Peter, the Peter who had denied him three times. Three times Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter affirms, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus commands, calls Peter three times, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." Let us offer ourselves, all we have, all we are, in all our smallness and frailty and weakness. Let us offer all these things to our compassionate and merciful divine Lord Jesus Christ, that he may use what is ours and use us to nourish us and to feed his hungry people. Amen.